Good morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation here on KXCV KRNW. I'm Jeremy Werner. Join me this morning as the Vice Chairman and Tribal Historic Preservation Officer with the Iowa Tribe of Kansas and Nebraska, Lance Foster. Lance, we've invited you on this morning because the federal government released a report this month documenting so-called Native American boarding schools across the U.S. These were up in the late 1800s, sometimes mid-1800s. The report itself details years of abuse as well as death and several other horrible things. The U.S. Interior Department says the report is the first comprehensive inventory of the federally operated schools documenting the trauma and consequences caused by the U.S. cultural eradication effort. Lance, I guess my first question would simply be, have you read this report?
I read some of it. Yeah, I did, and I'm aware of the contents and stuff.
So the report shows about 53 boarding schools that had marked or unmarked burial sites. Is this something that your tribe is potentially looking at for some of the boarding schools under your jurisdiction, as well as in our area and places like Highland, Kansas?
So, yeah, we're aware of several. So our tribe has been part of the whole assimilation goals of the education boarding school approach since probably the 1830s, maybe 1820s, because in 1819, the Civilization Fund Act, while before the Catholics and others were starting schools to educate students probably as far back as the 1600s, it was only in 1819 that the U.S. government kind of joined that effort and made it a program to join with churches to come up with that kind of boarding school approach. So our tribe in Missouri was part of the Florissant school there that the Jesuits are running. We only know of about 30 boys who attended it. We don't even know only a few of their names. We don't know whether they disappeared there or died or were buried there. The next one started here in Kansas in 1836 under the Presbyterians. And we do know that a few people died there and were buried. You have to understand that the boarding school kind of evolved over the years, starting primarily, you know, like I said, the Catholics. And then when the United States government got into it, started picking and choosing different churches to work with and task, like, say, the Baptists with one group and the Presbyterians with another and the Methodists for another. And that, until Carlisle started, it wasn't really a military approach. It was more about assimilation because the United States had what they called the Indian problem, right? And that means the Indians were living in lands that the westward expansion wanted. So they had three choices: to wipe out the Indians, to keep pushing them west, and there's only so far west you can go, or to assimilate them. And so either physical genocide or cultural genocide. And so the whole point there was, okay, we'll have to make the Indian the white man, you know, basically, and incorporate him as a United States citizen. That means he has to give up his language and his way of life and everything, because that's just not going to work with what we have planned for the country. So we do know, not only after that mission closed here in Kansas, and then it continued to branch out. We had a student who went to Carlisle, Henry Jones, which we brought home, who died there just a couple months after he got sent there in Pennsylvania. And then in Genoa, Nebraska, we had people up there. So, yeah, it's a very complex situation, and not that one-line narrative that everybody knows about. The tribe here, we didn't have to wear uniforms and cut our hair and be forced to speak English and all that. That's because the kids lived nearby with their parents, and so if they needed to go work, they would go home and stuff. So it was really under Pratt in the 1870s that really shifted into kind of that school, that federal boarding school, where kids were you know, forced to speak English and cut their hair and all that stuff. Although it's just more complex than people think it is.
With all that information, was there any difficulty over the years getting that information, and how did it eventually all trickle down over the years?
Well, probably for us, the two schools that we know the most about for our tribe is at Genoa, which followed that military boarding school approach, and the Presbyterian mission here near Highland, Kansas. There's not as much information about the earlier one in Missouri at Florissant. And so mainly it trickled in through people who attended or their children or grandchildren and the things that their parents would say. There were reports the missionaries would say, you know, a student died or was buried here, that sort of thing. And there's a lot of, as you can guess, a lot of heavy emotions, you know, about it. Some are just carry a real tragedy, intergenerational tragedy, and things that continue through their family that are dysfunctional because of that experience. Others seem to have taken something good from it, you know, and have some good memories as well. So it's a real mixed bag as far as the individual experience of the students. But overall, the whole goal really was to wipe out Indian culture.
It sounds like the impact of these boarding schools isn't fully known. Is that a correct assumption?
I mean, is anything fully known, really?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's very true, but I feel like so much of this sounds like they're saying we know of it, but the specifics are still kind of eluding us. Would that be a safe assumption?
I would say that the documentation really varies from school to school, and part of that has to do with what time period it happened. You know, like I said, the earlier one, Florissant in the 1820s, we know very, very little, although the Catholics there, the Jesuits, are trying to find what documents they might have. And on the other hand, Genoa up in Nebraska, they have a pretty good accounting of what happened and who might have died and be buried at that location. At Carlisle back east, they've done a really thorough job in documentation.
Has there been any difficulties working with agencies or government officials when it comes to the search for answers?
Well, we have only begun that journey. We've had a little bit of difficulty with folks at Carlisle and getting some of that information. Some of it has been, they've been proactive about it too. And I think at least there, they are trying to supply us with what they do have. But I think all of us, whether we're tribes and some of the people that are working from the boarding school side, are sometimes left with very little documentation.
So going back to the property in Highland, when I originally was looking into it, I noticed that it was not necessarily owned, but the Kansas Historical Society's number was the contact number, and they told me that your tribe is the one in charge of that site now, correct?
In October 2021, it was transferred from the Kansas State Historical Society to the tribe.
Are there any plans for that site?
Yeah, the museum was started by local folks in 1943, and then it went through a couple incarnations in different ways, and then it was closed in 2008 as part of the austerity measures here in Kansas. And so the plans for it really are to interpret the whole story there. It's part of the Lewis and Clark Trail. It's part of the California-Oregon Trail, which brought cholera and wiped out a lot of the tribal folks here. But we won't tell the whole story. The real story is often more complicated than anyone likes to think.
So the plans for that site are kind of still up in the air?
No. The plans for it are it will be opened again as a museum. We're opening it Memorial Day. We don't have a lot of artifacts or exhibits yet because that costs money, but we've committed to reopen it as a community resource. A lot of people have memories about it, and Indian and non-Indian. And so it's going to be a place for people to come and reflect and enjoy. And we are going to have the Mission Museum open again. It was open during the period of closure as just the grounds that people could come in and take a look and learn from some of the signs, but we are opening the museum itself as well.
Are there any future plans for excavation at the site?
We have some scattered reports about the cemetery that was there. We have three tombstones that we don't know the graves locations for. It would be great to try to find out where that graveyard was associated with the mission. We would never do any kind of excavations around those. We might do things like ground penetrating radar to try to confirm whether there are graves or not. And eventually we may do a little bit of excavation, but there have already been excavations there when the museum was kind of closed and reopened in 1994. So there are some limited excavations from 1994.
You know, I think one of the important aspects of this is the cooperation that is currently going on, not only by the U.S. government, but by state and local governments. What are you hoping they'll do in terms of working with you and others on the search for answers?
Well, we have decent working relationships, not only with the state of Kansas, but also the local historical society, Doniphan County Historical Society. And it's all about trying to reach out and find the truth that we all can learn from. And that includes Highland University, too. Which is kind of, I guess, in a way, a spiritual descendant of the mission. Although it's not an Indian mission, it was founded by the same fellows, Samuel Irvin, who founded the mission. So we just want to learn the truth, the whole truth.
So this kind of leads back to my next question. U.S. Representative Sharice Davids of Kansas introduced a bill a few weeks ago to create a Truth and Healing Commission on Native American boarding schools. Have you been in contact with her or anyone else about this?
Not really, not yet. They do have a national group on healing through the boarding school that's been for several years now before this recent initiative, so I'm sure that's going to be part of it. But no, we haven't really talked to anybody outside the local area about this much yet.
So outside of the nuts and bolts of all of this and the politics that sometimes goes behind all of this, I'm curious, how do you feel personally reading this report and all of this history? Does it drudge up old wounds? Does it create new ones? Or is it some kind of relief that this info is not only being recognized but publicized?
I think most of the tribal folks are, although greatly saddened by some of the things we discover, some of the details, for example, when the Oregon Trail came through, people would steal little kids as kind of pets or playthings for their children. Throughout West, we have stories about that. But I think the whole point when you try to heal something is you have to decide whether if you break a scar open, is that going to create more help or harm? And the fact is it hasn't really healed. So if something isn't healed correctly, you got to open it up and get all the things that are dark in there kind of cleaned out, and then you can try to heal cleanly.
So there's going to be people who, you know, either hear this interview or hear about this report. You know, for those people who hear this interview or read the report or hear about it and, you know, haven't known about this, what is it that you want them to take away from all this? And, you know, what is it that you want them to try and do going forward?
I would like people to be open to finding out all the facts of a story, all the truth, the good and the not good, so that we can understand more about our country and our connections to each other. These are difficult times, and it's a challenge to work through this. but as long as we're committed to finding the truth together, I think it can be a healing thing for everybody.
All right, Lance, thank you for coming on this morning. Once again, that was the Vice Chairman and Tribal Historic Preservation Officer with the Iowa Tribe of Kansas and Nebraska, Lance Foster, talking about the new report by the Interior Department detailing years of abuse, death, and a lot of other horrible things that took place at Native American boarding schools across the U.S. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been your morning conversation right here on KXCV KRNW.